Hey, what's going on in the world of the spirit? Turn into More Faith, More Life to find out. God is up to choosing the new Gideons and the new army of 300. I'll tell you all about it on the next More Faith, More Life.
You were made for more than the status quo. I'm Pastor Steve Gray, and this is the More Faith, More Life podcast. This podcast is for Christians with an ambitious heart who want to be more for their family, do more with their career, and see more of God's promises in their life. I've spent many years as a worship artist, minister, nonprofit leader, bold truth speaker, and most importantly, father and spouse. When I was in my early 40s, I was craving more from God and more from life. I'd done everything I was supposed to do. My life was good, but it wasn't good enough. So I spent the following years diving into the Word of God and searching for the biblical principles that would bring me closer to God and help my purpose and life flourish. That's what I want to share with you. In every episode, you'll get practical tools based on real life experiences that you can put into action to redefine your faith and ultimately your life. So, if you're ready to do more, subscribe to More Faith, More Life, and hear an unfiltered biblical truth every week. It's time to be and experience more.
Hello, everybody, and welcome again to a More Faith, More Life podcast. And got Kathy with me today. I'm Steve Gray. I've got my wife, Kathy, with me. We're having a blast talking about the new book, Mighty Like Gideon, because there's so many elements in it. Sometimes we laugh because we didn't think of something that's in there. And I was so happy to be able to write that. I've written other books. It's with Chosen Books. And, of course, it's in bookstores. And they get. But if they go to SteveGrayMinistries.com and go there, they can get this book just like every place else. But I think it's like we're selling this workbook. I think it's $1 more. And you get this workbook. It's an excellent workbook.
Yeah.
And you get it basically free, but a dollar.
Study guide.
Study guide. That's what I should have said. Mm-hmm. So that's why you want to go to SteveGrayMinistries.com and get it so that you can get what other people can't get. And so we're having so much fun because there's so much adventure. Mm-hmm. There's so many strange things in it of how Gideon, you know, they defeated the army with torches and trumpets. They didn't do it with swords, you know, and they didn't.
So unique.
Yeah, the Midianites, they killed each other. And we just basically, by that time, you just had to watch.
What a battle. What a victory.
Yeah,
so. You know?
So anyway, I hope they get the book. There's so many jewels in it.
Mighty like Gideon, revived and battle ready at your river of testing. I love the whole thing about it.
You can get it at the outlets and bookstores and online, but you can't get this study guide anyplace, and it's a good one.
Except where can you get it again?
SteveGrayMinistries.com.
SteveGrayMinistries.com.
You should be able to get that. So anyway, there's so much about the book. I don't know what you liked about it or what particularly struck you. I know you helped me edit it and J.D. King.
Which was an honor for me to get to do that, Steve, to help with a little bit of that editing and a little bit of input, remembering great things that you'd said and taught over the years. But you know, about Gideon, you know, with the 300 men and this remnant of people, and what in the world, how did God do that? Why did he do that and bring the whole army down to just 300 guys? I'm not quite sure. Maybe not everybody understands.
Well, the story of Gideon and in the book Mighty Like Gideon, we're going to start where God starts, where a prophet appears, and then an angel appears, and then the angel discusses, and so does Gideon, who he is, what he is, calls him a mighty warrior. Gideon sees himself as weak and the least. So we go through all that, and everybody, if anybody's going to do anything, they're going to have to go through that too. Yeah. Who are you and what can you do?
Right.
And as we said in the other times, Gideon had to receive God saying, I want you to do what you can already do. Yeah. He doesn't ask him to do anything that was beyond him. And really, it wasn't that hard. It was just the God calls him a mighty warrior because he's going to have to warrior in his own mind and heart. Because the first thing he has to do is go face his father and false religion that his father was teaching in Israel.
Right.
And he had to face that. Well, that's not a battle with a sword, a mighty warrior. That is, you got to be a mighty warrior and face the religious practices that are non-scriptural, out of control, self-centered, humanism, maybe a little psychology.
Greed, maybe.
a little psychology, which is good. I tell, you know, and politics, okay? But I was mentioning yesterday as a pastor, I said, listen, the bad thing that's happening in churches is it's okay to talk politics because people, some people think a church should, some people think you shouldn't, okay? But that's not the whole point. You can talk about politics or not talk about politics. Where the problem is, we're not talking about the spirit. We're not talking spiritual.
Right.
We're just duplicating what politicians are saying. We need to go out and we need to vote and we need to blah, 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 and make sure America stays like we want it to stay. But that doesn't change the hearts of people.
Right.
And until the heart changes, nothing will change other than legislation. Laws can make things safer and better.
Yes.
But only because a law is holding a lawbreaker. What we want to do is we want to change the heart of the lawbreaker, and that can only be done by the Spirit of God.
Yes,
right?
Only by the, not by might and not by power of your own, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And that applies to everything, to us individually and also to our churches and to mankind, if we can help them get revived in that area, not by our might, not by our power or our self-efforts or our great thinking, but it is by the power of God, the Spirit of God, who executes that power of God.
Yeah, and we have to remember that, because otherwise we're not going to be able to get anything done.
No.
And so God was going to do it by the Spirit of the Lord. I think religion has gone another way where it is a lot of human might and a lot of human power happening in churches and religion. Very business-like, business models, all that kind of stuff. Not spiritual model. And it's not necessarily a sin model. It's just not a spiritual model. You know, it's like Abraham having the son by
Hagar.
Hagar, thank you. Hagar.
Yeah.
We would probably not advise that, but it was not a wise thing, because God said, no, he's not the son, because he was not born by the Spirit.
Right.
He was born by the ordinary way.
Yeah.
And so we got thousands and thousands of good churches not born by the Spirit, but they're born by the executive, ordinary business. Yeah. Be kind to people, be nice, offer everything you can, and people will come and they'll enjoy your church. But which I get that. But as we look at not by power and like that, then we need to realize that God wants to move by his power, but we, as we've talked before, we have to be that cooperative thing.
Right.
And I think one thing that's happened in religion, as I was saying before, that has made it, not only is it not spiritual, it may be political, it may be moral, but not necessarily spiritual, is also the scripture that says the kingdom of God is not meat nor drink.
Right.
Now that just means it's not doing outward religious things, but righteousness, peace, and joy. And some say joy in the Holy Spirit. Some say joy in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Some just say joy. But what is it? It's rightness, righteousness, peace.
Peace.
Shalom. And that means wholeness in your whole life, as you already know. Everything in your life. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Righteousness, peace, and joy.
Right.
Well, but what's religion do to you? As soon as you're trying to go search for God, all of a sudden it's teaching you, and you're so worried about all the outward stuff you're not supposed to do anymore, or the inward stuff you're supposed to do anymore. And it's not meat nor drink. It's not food. It's not outward. It's getting that you need to start walking by the Spirit.
Yes.
So anyway, let's get back to the 300 before we run out of time.
Okay.
So the 300 really is the pinnacle of the story, because it starts out with God raising up Gideon, who sees himself weak, hiding in the wine press, takes him through. He has to destroy his father's altar, and then he's got to get an army, right?
Yeah.
And so he calls him, and how many came? Like, I don't remember.
Like 30,000 or
30 to 32,000, whatever.
Or
something.
A big amount.
Number.
Yeah,
and of course,
number.
God says that's too many. So why would that be too many? It's not enough.
Yeah, in my thinking, it's not enough.
You know, if they didn't have God's power, even with 30,000 or however in them had, they're still not going to kill the Midianites, who are have more than you can count. It says they have more camels than you could count.
Oh, boy.
And so, you know, it's like tithing. You know, let's say your tithe would be $50, 10%. Is $50, and you're going to give $50 every week or $50 every 2 weeks. Here's the deal. A lot of people, I can't afford to tithe, But you know what? $50 mm-hmm. ain't going to save you.
Mm-hmm.
But it might just trigger by obedience,
yes,
the power and presence of God to bless you. If $50 will save you, whatever your tithe is, would yeah. save you. It doesn't. Those people are still struggling financially.
Right.
So why not yeah. go ahead and do it God's way and see if you can get God to release his favor on you? Okay, so when we see this, mm-hmm. now this army that he wants to put together in the 300, we sometimes think that's the pinnacle, and we look at the numbers and that. But I like to look at it differently, because why did God, of course, say 30,000 is too many? Because he said he doesn't want them to boast and say, we did it. But I'm saying
right.
they couldn't have done it anyway.
No, they couldn't have done it.
But if the if God, maybe God would jump in at the end, you know, and say, hey, yeah. I can't let you be destroyed. He'd win it, and then they'd say, look what we did. So that's a big thing to God in this particular one. They don't want him to be forgotten, and they want him to know that he caused the victory. So yes. he absolutely establishes it, and he narrows it down then to, since 9,700 more home, first to 30,907, now Gideon's left with 300. Well, we already know you can't defeat with 300 any more than you could at 30,000. It's just the army's too big.
Yeah.
So it has to be a God thing.
Yes.
So God calls Gideon a mighty warrior, but we don't get any idea that he has any experience as a warrior.
Right.
A general, a sword, a spear. We get none of that. And what God did was God took what Gideon could do uh-huh. already.
Right.
And that's how he's going to defeat him. He's not going to say, go to gladiator school. Right.
Yeah.
So God is going to have Gideon shout. They're all going to shout. They're going to break the jars, 300 jars, because there's 300 men, 300 torches and 300 trumpets. Mm. And this is all going to go on at the same time. And they may have split them up into two groups, even, to make it stereo.
Oh.
One on each side of their camp. And
oh my. Yeah.
And they do that. Mm-hmm. Now, but that doesn't help us get back to the 300.
Mm-hmm.
Because God said 300. But if God said, I want to defeat them with 300 so you can't take credit, you would have to pick some men that would not be looking to take credit.
Right.
That's one. Mm. So he wants.
Okay.
So maybe he could only get down to 300 who weren't going to say, wow, we did it.
Yeah.
That's part of it. But I think the main thing, God chose 300. There's some speculation. Just wonderful speculation, though. Okay. What if God's number wasn't as important? We like that number, like there's 32 or 30,000, and then there was 9,700 mm-hmm. sent home. Now there's only 300 left, and God is going to defeat them with 300, mm-hmm. okay? So it's like we're thinking, and I know it's okay to think like this, but we're thinking God decided 2 weeks ago, I'm going to get 300 guys, and we're going to defeat the Midianites, so I just need to find 300, because I'm going to do it with 300. Maybe.
Maybe.
But when God tells Gideon, choose the men that lap water, not like everybody else does, 9,700, but lap water like a dog.
Mm-hmm.
God knows everything, but is he picking the 300, or are the 300 picking themselves?
Yeah, I think they're picking themselves.
Yeah.
Don't you?
So God knows everything. I don't want to get in a stupid argument about that. But did God say absolutely 300, or he's in, let's see what we get?
Yeah.
Because God chose them not because they drank. He chose them because the way they drank. And how did they pick the way to drink? Is it that it's so much fun to talk about because it's ridiculous what we're saying, but is it 9,700 learned to drink one way at their hometown or whatever? I think 9,700 of them drank like everybody pretty mm-hmm. much drinks.
Mm-hmm.
Then God said, watch how they drink, and the ones that lap like dogs, choose them. Well, where do you go to lap like dog school? Why 300 would lap like dog at 9,007, which sounds like the common drink way to drink, because that's the way they would drink.
Why?
Okay.
Yeah.
But
why would they do that?
What if God was not looking for mighty warriors with swords? He was looking for mighty warriors like Gideon, who he was mighty because he was do what he was told. Or Gideon would follow what the angel said. He'd mm-hmm. follow what God said. He'd do what God told him to do. And so God needed, and Gideon needed, 200 250, 300, I'd take 400. I just need, if I put myself in God's shoes or Gideon's shoes, we just need people that will follow an example.
Right.
The Bible says imitate people's faith. Mm-hmm. What if they all go down to drink and God's looking like, I got to get some guys that are willing to break jars. Where am I going to get guys that maybe they'll throw a spear? How am I going to talk 300? Where am I going to get 100 guys that say, hey, run out there in the middle of everybody. There's the big army, huge cutthroats that will kill you. And I want you to blow a trumpet and shout and just draw attention to yourself. Just draw attention to yourself. Make a big noise. Shout real loud. Break jars. Blow trumpets. Wave torches. And then the Midianites, they're sure going to know you're there. Well, you'd have to find an unusual person that would say, I trust God. And they said, for the sword of the Lord and for Gideon. They said both. And they trusted their leader. And so when they did that, so Gideon, so they say, see how they drink.
Yeah.
And Gideon's going, okay. And so Gideon bends down and he drinks and laps like a dog. 9,700 did how they usually do it, how they were taught by their parents or something. And 300 say, look at the way Gideon drinks. We want to be a part of this thing. We need to follow the leader. And God found 300 that would do what Gideon did. Does it have anything to do with drinking? Does it have anything to do with lapping like a dog or whatever, or cupping your hand, whatever? No, nothing. It has to do with, will we be able to find 300 that will do what Gideon says to do, or what God says to do through Gideon? And that's a tall order. We forget. We say, 300, that's all it takes. Yeah, it takes 300 that are willing to do it God's way and stand there. You obviously are going to alert yourself to the presence of an army that has more camels than you've got people.
Yes.
Okay? They're going to know you're there.
Right.
What do they turn on us? Well, we need 300 Gideons is what we need. And it starts with Gideon, the leader. And all he needed was 300 to do it all together at the same time. You know, in the book, we have a chapter about the power of unity and the power of all. And they all did it at the same time. If they, if 150 of them, the other side, two groups, 150 of them had said, this is ridiculous. I'm going to get a spear and a sword. I'm going to go get a shield or something, you know, or I'm going to dig a hole, or I'm going to desert or whatever. I'm going to run away. He needed 300 that would do what Gideon did. That's it.
300 who would choose to follow the leader.
Yeah.
And the not be their own hotshot thinker.
God was with him. God was with the rest of them too, but he wasn't near as with the 9,700 as he was with the 300. Was he with both groups? Yeah. But the 300 were chosen. They were invited.
Yes.
And they chose to follow, as the scripture says. Many are called, or many are invited. But after that, the conflict sets in. You know, you know the Bible about the seed thrown on the hard ground, the seed on the rocky ground like that. All four got seed, but three of them, it was robbed. It says the devil came and stole. Instantly, the devil came and stole what was sown in their hearts. Or the cares of this world come and steal the word away from them. So, you know, it could be, there could have maybe been 301. But one of that 9,700 did it his own way. He probably was being pulled by the Holy Spirit. Do it that way. We can do this with 301 guys.
301 guys.
Doesn't matter.
Wow.
We just need guys or gals that will do together what God needs to have done, and stop bickering and fighting over things.
Right.
And just follow and be happy.
Yes, be happy.
Be happy to be part of anything. And so Gideon, I think he was a mighty warrior because he was willing to do maybe the ridiculous a little bit. But then he was a mighty warrior because he called other men together to do ridiculous with him, which seemed ridiculous, but it wasn't. It was obedience. And they defeated the Midianites without a sword, without a spear. And they turned, the Midianites turned on themselves and killed each other. And it was, you know, and they had 40 years of peace.
40 years of peace.
Out of those jars, trumpets. So 300.
300.
40 years of peace through Gideon, too, obviously the leader, doing it God's way.
How do we apply it right now today, real quickly? You know, there's multitudes of people who sit in church in our nation, and they're sitting there and sitting there and sitting there. Are you saying, do you think to win the next battle and bring in that renaissance of religion and everything, that maybe God's going to bring it down till there's the 300 who follow the way of Gideon?
Of course, the 300 is not an important
number. Exactly. No, the number is not important.
Choosing of whatever number.
Yeah.
I would just guess right now God's choosing the 300. Yeah. Well, he's choosing the Gideons and the 300 now for what he wants to do.
Yeah.
Will he get it done? I hope so.
Yes.
But if 300 decide they're all cowards, 9,700 got afraid and went back.
Yeah.
He's going to allow you to be afraid.
Yeah.
He'll allow you to go back. He let the cowards go and the fearful left.
Mm-hmm.
And he allowed him to, because God's still going to get it done one way or another, but he won't get it done through you.
Yeah.
And so that's one application.
Okay.
But the other is the application that we find, we get ourselves to being chosen of that, is to put ourselves in the position that we already know that we are going to cooperate with the will of God, and that most people will not be chosen because they won't do what they can do now. Gideon became a mighty warrior without changing a thing.
Hallelujah.
He just had to do what God said to do now.
Mm-hmm.
And so other mighty warriors, as we know, they wait, they're waiting. They won't do what God has equipped them to already do. It's not glamorous. It doesn't get you attention. Yeah. Nobody pats you on the back. I mean, how often do you get patted on the back for holding babies on a Sunday morning? You know, but you get a pat on the back from God. Because if you can already do it, and you're great with kids, and you have your own kids, why wouldn't you want to use that? Instead, you're frustrated because you think you should be downtown on a soapbox among drug addicts, you know, getting them all delivered from drugs. But you're not satisfied to minister to your own kids. You're not satisfied to minister to other people's kids. And yet God gave you kids. You're already qualified. If you want to get to that soapbox downtown or another, do what you can already do by faith.
Right.
Do what you can do right now. What can you do today or tomorrow or in your church? Do what you can do, and you'll graduate to do things that you could never do. But all Gideon became the great mighty warrior, 40 years of peace, because he did what he could already do. He could break a jar. Apparently, he could mumble something through a trumpet, spit through it or something. He could break a jar. He could shout. He could wave a torch. Right?
Yes.
And God defeated the army. So do what you can do now rather than wait and get frustrated because, like, I'm not special. I don't have this call. Yeah. Find out the Lord is with you when you do what you can already do with him. Good stuff.
Amen. Wonderful.
Don't forget to go to SteveGrayMinistries.com. Get Mighty Like Gideon. Get it. But for one, I think it's $1 more, whatever. It's more, barely. You can get the workbook study guide, Mighty Like Gideon. It'll really help you along. It's a great book. I've written books. J.D. King wrote this with me. But we think this is the finest with the most jewels, stories, and inspiration of anything we've ever written.
Right.
So thanks for watching. Tell your friends. Subscribe. Join us. Follow us. Do all that kind of stuff. And we're really trying to help you get more faith so you can have more life. Till next time. Bye-bye.